Do that again, but louder.
We should totally do a remix.
Welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Adele Dittus.
And Aaron is at the coast with his mom, which is awesome. Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia, we're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way, covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living, and today, shrinking the world by bike. We're here with Tim Mooney. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
And people will remember Tim Mooney from the Pedal Shift Project and pedalshift.net.
And past episodes of the Sprocket Podcast.
That's right.
This
yeah.
is my third time?
Oh, good question.
I should know this.
Yeah, I forget as well.
It's confusing because Brock's been on your podcast, and so they might blend.
Also, you know, there is the elephant in the room that, Brock, you and Aaron are never in the room at the same time when I'm on the show.
We're
you
talking about that.
At least one of them away when you come to town.
Either that or they are, in fact, the same person.
But you never know.
Oh, well, Aaron could fit inside Brock.
I was going to say, he may be inside
and
him piloting
might climb
him.
Out yeah. at some point.
Brock, you may be just like one giant tall bike automaton that has Aaron inside pulling levers. That could be, I'm sorry, people. That's
picture.
A visual. That's a visual for an audio medium.
This is where I really wish I could drop in like an audio clip of him or something.
That's going to happen. You're going to drop it in.
Brock, you know I only do impersonations of you.
Yeah, I don't think we've done an impersonation of Aaron.
I think we did the shaking of the fist.
Angry
yeah, the
right.
angry shaking of fists.
Right,
you know,
right.
Mm-hmm. Get off of my road, you car.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
So, welcome to Portland again, Tim.
Thank you. And it's a home away from home for me, as you know. So,
yeah, for sure. You lived here, when was it again?
Back in the 90s, back in the dream of the 90s time.
Yeah.
96 to 01.
Did you know it was a dream?
I did. I mean,
did
you know
you were living the dream is what I meant to say?
Let me put it this way. I am the only person to ever move from Portland to D.C. There's been lots of D.C. to Portland, but very little Portland to D.C., and here I am.
Right.
I guess me and Earl Blumenauer, that's about it.
You're a pioneer, yes. You lead the way for the Congress.
Me and Earl.
Yeah. I saw Earl at the Bike Portland 10-year anniversary party on Friday.
2 days ago, yeah.
I still consider him like my congressman because I since I live in D.C. and have no actual effective representation because of, the Constitution.
But you are taxed.
I am taxed. Trust me on that. Earl is my honorary congressman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's a cool guy. He had very high words of praise to speak about Jonathan Moss. So it was, I wish someday that maybe he would say something like that about me. Who knows?
Ooh, but, you should tweet at him.
Paging Congressman Blumenauer.
Exactly. So you came back for a conference this time around, right?
Yeah, well, I've got two good reasons to come back. One, I had this cool conference that I went to, which we can talk about. But I also have a brand new nephew. He is 7 months old.
Oh, that's right.
His name is Connor. And he's a cool little kid. So it's always great to see him. And it's my first nephew. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's weird. I'm incredibly fearful of children and childless by choice, but I'm holding on to this kid like I'm a champ. It's like there's something about it when it's like sort of your DNA is in there a little bit, even though it's not my direct.
Are you going to be
unless my brother needs to tell me something.
Crazy Uncle Tim, or are you going to be different presence?
Crazy Uncle Tim for sure. And I've already been informed, and I am proud to say that I've already been tasked with getting this child his first bike.
Oh, really?
So, yes.
So
yes.
What is his first bike going to be?
Small folding bikes available.
You know what we need is I'm going to be doing like hours and hours of internet research on the first push bike because I know that's the way kids learn these days. Mm-hmm. They don't learn like back in the day. Like I don't know. Did you guys have training wheels on your bikes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Brock tooth
has
and
a
nail.
Funny story. Yeah, yeah. He did not want to get those things off.
So I really liked my tricycle back in the day, and then my parents did this elaborate setup to give me a bicycle for Christmas when I was like six or something, and so they gave it to me. But I really didn't want to give up the trike, and they had to like physically hide the tricycle in the loft of the garage before I would actually ride the bike.
Growing pains.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then taking the training wheels off, I fought against that as well.
Yeah, I mean,
probably unreasonably.
I guess
so.
My parents didn't know back then, you can just take off the pedals and have kids scoot and balance, and you could essentially make a regular small bike into a push bike.
It was a new idea for me.
Back in the day, when I was a kid, it was like, you just try and pedal, and you're probably just going to fall on, yeah, on the pavement and get hurt.
Yeah, it's
and
like, you know,
the learning curve is very steep.
You learn through pain. You,
yeah,
know,
exactly.
Just so like, balance is important, kid. You know, oh, we'll teach that to you last, you know.
When I was a boy, they taught me with pain. Someday, that'll be, yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, that's it. And I did see, I just got my new folding bike, my new Brompton at Clever Cycles. And
yeah,
I
you
had
did.
These wee mm-hmm. little bikes that I was just like, I just spent a lot of money on a bike, but that little wee push bike, that's going to be
you
for
got at least another year, 2 years before.
I think it's at least two.
At least two before you need to buy one of those.
He can sit up and he can kind of like flop around a little bit. But
you're like, what? You're 7 months old? You're not ready for a small bike?
Come on, kid.
Come on.
Let's get
higher expectations.
Yeah.
So push bike is like the generic term. Scoot is obviously a trademark.
Oh,
I believe.
Or, and I think Strider bike? Is that sort of a more trade?
Good question.
That might be more of a specific brand of push bike.
You are all literally educating me in the moment. I have no idea.
Hey, you know what's really cool? I'm a preschool teacher, and we just got a small child size exercise bike. So inside the classroom, the kids can get on this exercise bike and just like pedal out any excess energy they have. And I put up a photo that I took of the Tour de France, like when I was in France years ago, and I put it up there, and I was like, all right, guys, there's some like people in tight clothes racing, and you can be just like them. but I also have a photo of Lance Armstrong, but he's not such a hero anymore.
He's not cool
so
anymore.
I haven't really like introduced them to like the 4 and 5 year olds as like someone to emulate.
I was always sort of anti Lance because I'd heard all the stories about him being a jerk and all this other stuff, and you know, the writing was on the wall with him. And so I kept telling my girlfriend Kimberly, I was like, you know, hey Kimberly, I just, you know, he's not a good guy. She's like, no, he seems like a good guy. I'm like,
he's really inspiring.
He's not, in some ways, but he's also a jerk, you know, he's probably a phony. And then when it all broke out, I was just like, you know, I, you know, the whole Schadenfreude, you know, oh great, I'm triumphant because I was right. And, you know, then I was just sort of like, yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Right. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like it depends
It's bad. It's bad that happened. So
for sure.
I got over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and
you were
kids.
Right, so
I was a little right. So.
See, that's the thing. We have to, it's like smoking a cigarette and holding it behind your back. It's like, just like, hey, this is a thing that we're trying it. It seems to feel good, but it's probably not good for you. So, the thing about Lance is that if you have his picture up on the wall for the preschool, like they can someday aspire to swap out all their blood on a weekly basis.
And to shake their finger saying, I do not juice, or whatever he was saying. You know, he would just sit there and just like,
I don't juice.
Yeah, I don't juice.
Hey, little kids like juice.
That's
this
true.
Could
yeah,
be, this
yeah.
could
they
be
do.
Funny.
Seriously, there's a direct connection from these children who are 3 and 4.
That's what he should do now. He's like, you know, he's out of a job. He could like, you know, promote juices, you know, and just like, be like Lance Armstrong juice box.
An infomercial sort of thing. Like, you can make your own.
I actually would buy that.
It slices, dices, it makes juice.
It's special juice.
It improves your performance on steep hills.
Totally. If he'd embrace it, I think I'd maybe purchase that product. Who knows?
I like this idea.
He could turn this
around. Yeah. We've been talking about children, so I haven't felt good until now about opening up.
Here we go.
This is the Fort George Fresh IPA. It's a wet hop India Pale Ale from Astoria, Oregon.
Sounds kind of gross.
What's the difference between a dry hop and a wet hop? Do you know?
Honestly, I don't know, other than it could be that maybe they soak the hops before they put them in, as opposed to a dry hop where you just throw them into the mash or whatever.
What's that board game where people make up stuff and you're supposed to decide whether there's
Balderdash?
This feels like a game of Balderdash right now.
Yeah. It does. Yeah, I'm going to say wet hop. I'm just imagining them like mopping the floors of the brewery with hops and then throwing them in there. I don't know.
Because when I saw dry hop, I was always like, oh no, it's a dry flavor of hop. Mm-hmm. But then I never saw wet hop, and this is wet hop. So here we are. You know.
Well, you know who could tell
you
the difference?
What about a moist hop as opposed to something like halfway between wet and dry? Let's have a moist hop.
Brock, I think you might be able to tell us. Who could tell us the difference between a dry hop and a wet hop? Who could that possibly be?
I think over at the beer mongers, they know the difference.
Hey. The beer mongers, who are they?
If you ever had a question, you do this so well. If you ever had a question about what kind of beer making process there was going on and the particular beer you enjoy, the beer mongers on Southeast 12th and Division could totally hook you up with all that information. And they can hook you up with more of what you like.
Yeah. And they had cool sours, including my new favorite Almanac, which is a very good one, which we're going to be enjoying later too.
Yes. This is someone close to you, right?
Is my sister-in-law is now a new rep for them doing beer things. She does beer things.
Nice.
And she brought some home, and I got to try some, and I was like, this is really, really good.
Yeah.
So here we are.
It's great to have in the family. I need like a some brother or sister-in-law who's
if only somebody you knew had something with a sponsorship that provided
if
free
only.
beer. If only.
So wasn't
I just
there
need to be on the podcast every Monday.
Yeah, you should come more often.
Yeah. Adele, didn't your ancestors make beer? I thought there was something about that.
I'm pretty sure, you know, they were German farmers. I'm pretty sure everyone back in the day would have made their own beer back then. But no, yeah, my dad was saying that Gelbach owned like a brew house in Lancaster County somewhere. Right. So it does. It runs in the family.
Amish beer.
I love the Amish stories, by the way. Every time you guys go back to Lancaster, I'm just sort of like, oh, we get Amish stories.
I am fascinated by that. Are you fascinated by them like I am?
I am. So in between when I go, I grew up in Western New York and my family is still there. And so when I go from D.C. to there a couple times a year, I'll drive through a lot of Amish country. And so, you know, I'll see the same things that you guys describe on the show. And it's really fascinating seeing that sort of simpler living by choice, but like it's sort of at an extreme level considering, you know, I'm sitting there being guided to my home by iPhone app and they're in a horse-drawn carriage.
Right.
And I'm just zooming by them at, you know, 55, maybe 65 miles per hour. You know?
Wait, what's the speed limit? Or wait, leave that to speculation. Maybe.
I think that hypothetically, one should be always going the speed limit at, I believe, 55, where I see all of them.
Well, I would say that everything I know about you tells me that that's what you do.
I believe so.
You're not in a rush.
Yes. Based on the information that I have, I agree.
Once that city living of D.C. wears off, you're just like, hey, I have hours and hours.
I escape D.C. as much as I can. I have a cabin in West Virginia. It's about 2 hours away.
That's right.
And
yeah.
It is so great to get away from it. And my neighbors, who are never there, strangely enough, they have they've named their cabin. I have not named my cabin is called The Cabin, and there's no sign that says that.
Theirs is like George.
Theirs says D.C. Escape on it, yet I never see them there. I don't know. Maybe they're not escaping.
The city's trapped them. They can't get out.
Yeah, it's like, theoretical.
I don't know. Traffic was horrible. Last time I visited D.C. last year, my dad worked there for years. And,
I didn't know that.
He did. He worked for the Reagan administration, which may not be a popular choice for some, I don't know.
I understand he owns our airport now.
But, yeah. So, yeah, he was just saying, like, the traffic is so much worse than it was 20 years ago. And
it's awful.
The government has grown, and look at all the employees. So,
I'm really lucky to live and work in the same neighborhood now. I live and work in the DuPont Circle area. And I was just talking to a random guy, you know, random guy with a ponytail at the Beer Mongers. I'm sorry, you'll have to be more specific, right? And we were talking about D.C., the D.C. bike scene. And, and he was like, it's amazing how much it's changed. And I totally agree. It's awesome. And but things have really changed. Like, I mean, I can't even imagine what they were like back in the 80s. But, you know, I moved there right after I lived in Portland. And, you know, I was like, you know, lamenting the loss of bikes and beer. And, you know, I would just be like, oh, I need my Deschutes, you know, Black Butte Porter. And there was one place that had it and then they didn't. And then I lost that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, D.C. started becoming more like Portland. Mm-hmm. And Portland started stalling out a little bit.
Sure.
And now they're starting to
caught up.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there.
There's a lot more people in suits. For good reason. When I went, I was just overwhelmed by like the hordes of like suited people. But then I was like, well, this is where everything gets done. Or not get done in our country. But yeah, it was the feel of D.C. It's cool. It's just different.
I live and work in an area that is sort of removed from the government hustle and bustle. And so I'm sort of separated from all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
City itself?
Yes.
Is the city and the district are all like the same boundary, right?
It is the same, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the district is made up, much like Portland, it's in quadrants, although it doesn't have that appendage of North D.C., you know, like Portland has.
Right.
Yeah,
the quadrant that's really a quintet.
They call that like Baltimore or something?
In its own weird way. But the, although Baltimore people and D.C. people are very
different.
They're very distinct personalities in cities, and that's a long story.
Yeah, The Wire didn't happen in D.C.
Oh, man. I know a guy who goes to the yoga studio that I help run, my girlfriend's yoga studio. He was in and was killed. He's an actor in The Wire.
Really?
And I was sitting there rewatching it for, you know, the third or fourth time. And then all of a sudden I'm like sitting there watching. I'm like, that guy looks a lot like Greg. Holy hell, that is that. And so I see him a couple of days later. I said, I cheated. I looked him up in IMDb.
Oh, sure.
And it was him. And I lost my damn mind. I'm like, I know somebody who was in The Wire. And so it must have been like a week later or so. I saw him in the studio and I just like scrambled right up to him. I'm like, Greg, I did not know that you were in The Wire. He's like, yeah.
Was it like a touching death scene or was it?
Was there ever a touching
to
scene in The Wire?
I haven't seen The Wire.
It's a great show. I mean, like, let me be the 8 billionth person to say, hey, The Wire was great. But yeah, anyways, yeah. But it was like one of those weird moments when it's mm-hmm. like, you run into people that you know in weird places that you don't expect them. But little mm-hmm. did I know, it's like, oh, a guy I'm friendly with and I think is really cool. He's in a band too that would play at our studio when we do events back in the day too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he was in The Wire too. Like, what else does this guy do? What does this guy not do?
Yeah.
He's going to show up in everything I see. So yeah. It was cool.
He dies convincingly
on
screen.
And he does yoga.
Yeah. And he does yoga. Yeah.
Well, that's why he could die convincingly on screen, I'm sure. You have to be able to relax all those muscles. You have to have really good control.
And breath control. He has to stop breathing for a while to look dead.
Yeah. I believe if I recall correctly, it had something to do with the dog fighting situation and his dog ate the dog that Cheese had. Cheese was one of the main characters, and Cheese had him bumped off.
Ah.
For those of you who listen to the show and know
spoiler.
The Wire, this Venn diagram. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Yeah, you're right.
It was happening 6 years ago, 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah.
Just in case you did, I should put like some.
By the way, he sees dead people because Bruce
No.
Stop.
Don't say it.
I just wanted to spoil that too.
No, it's true.
What else is going on?
Oh, let's see. So, well, Adele and I were up on the mountain. You were on the mountain.
We were all on the mountain yesterday.
Conference, yes.
Yeah, so you were near Welch's?
Yeah, at Resort on the Mountain, which I'd never been to before.
Not to be confused with the grape juice. Welch's. I don't know.
Oh,
it's just
right.
So funny. Oh. Whenever I go through Welch's, I'm like, Welch's.
Yeah. You go Sandy and then Welch's. It's just like these and Rhododendron and Zigzag. I mean, it feels like these towns were built on a dare almost. It's just sort of like they were digging in like random words out of the dictionary.
Right.
Yeah. Or it's like a mixed drink recipe.
Totally.
So, we went on a bike ride. And this was interesting because we were I wanted some alone time.
We tried a different strategy for this bike ride yesterday.
Yeah, and you and I had talked about, I was like, oh, I think I might go out and do this ride. And Adele, you said, I want to go on this ride. And I was like, you can't go on this ride. And did we argue about it? I think we worked out a solution.
I think we just silently fumed about it for a while, just like, I want to go on a ride too. Well, because we've both been wanting to ride in sort of the outer Clackamas River area, and we've talked about it for a few years. And we've been out there a lot by car and hiking, and there's hot springs, and it's super cool. But there's some beautiful Forest Service roads that we have never biked yet.
Yeah.
So we kind of came up with a nice compromise. We started together. We took the bus together to Estacada. And then after that, it was like, okay, you go at your own pace. No obligation to wait for me or, be slower than me. Like, just do whatever the hell you want. Mm-hmm. And we'll both end kind of in the government camp area.
Yeah. And we hadn't planned either to even to wrap up together. Like, we hadn't planned
we didn't even plan to end together. Like, we were like, okay, maybe we'll just see each other at home at 11 o'clock tonight. Because there's a lot of, buses we had to take from the end.
Right.
And Brock wanted to go. You had the idea of going all the way up to Timberline Lodge.
That was my idea.
Crazy. I was like, that's
a climb, dude.
I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that in one day. So
the route plotted out, it was 7,900 feet of elevation gain.
Yeah.
Altogether. Like, the amount of feet you would climb, and then you might descend some and then go back up again.
Yeah, because we had to go, from Estacada up to Timothy Lake and then up to Highway 26 and then Government Camp. And so I was like, oh, Brock's going to go up to the Timberline and I'm going to stay and pensively gaze at Timothy Lake for a while. And then I'll take the bus back from Sandy. But then I ended up biking up to Timberline because I just got this crazy urge. I was like,
dude,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So I pretty much didn't stop biking yesterday. Like,
that's pretty intense.
I was eating at all my food I was eating as I was riding.
Oh, that's way better. I never ate and rode at the same time.
Well, I ate half a sandwich by the side of the road and then this road turned into gravel. So then I was in such a rush. I was like, I can eat the second half of this sandwich while I'm on a gravel road. So I was bump, 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 and trying to shove a sandwich into my face and
kind
of dropping it. It was really funny.
You didn't bite your tongue or anything?
No.
Oh, good.
No, I was really careful, but I was looking down a lot. So fortunately, no cars passed me the entire time on this gravel road. Yeah. It was so remote. So I made it to Timberline Lodge and Brock didn't, but you ended up doing more miles than me.
Well, I made, I suppose, a wrong turn. I mean, there was a sign there just after the Ripple Brook Ranger Station. There was a sign that said Timothy Lake left. And
but
I looked
all roads
at that.
Lead to Timothy Lake, apparently.
Right. Well, and I had looked at the map and you had shown me this is the route that would work out well to get to Timothy Lake. And it was 5801, which is
10.
A spur. Oh, okay.
5810. It doesn't really
That's
matter.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter because I never found it.
Right. Not really a big deal.
Yeah. And I had not looked at the other side. It was like a solid yellow line on the Clackamas County bike map. They said this is a great place to ride. But I missed that 57 was the first road you should turn to. So I blew past the sign that said 57. I blew past the arrow sign that said Timothy Lake this way. And I just kept on going because I was like, I'll find 5801 somewhere.
Welcome to Idaho.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But then I knew that I was supposed to turn on Road 42, Forest Service Road 42. And so I got down to that intersection. It was Road 46, which is a scenic bikeway. And I don't remember if that's the one that goes to Detroit or which way the bikeway goes.
I didn't know there was a scenic bikeway out there. Do you think it's new?
It's pretty new.
Pretty new?
Yeah, it was like it was installed or like codified. It was approved after Russ and Laura made all those scenic bikeway videos.
I never saw a promotional video for
One
so
for it.
If Russ and Laura didn't do a video, it doesn't exist, right?
It doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, the trick was I got to there and I was like, you know what? I'm probably not going to find 58 at this point. And so I just turned up 42. That meant that I did far more mileage than I expected to. I mean, not like a ton.
You'd originally plotted over like a 100-mile day if you went up to Timberline
and
then
down
to
Sandy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so by the time I got to Timberline, I was so destroyed. And you still did more climbing than me.
By the time
so.
You got to government camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, because I never got to Timberline. Yeah.
Is Timberline the highest point in Oregon that a road goes to, or would that be
a paved road?
No.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe paved because we've been researching the Steens Mountains.
Oh.
Steens Mountain.
Yes.
Sorry, it's like 30 miles long, but it's just one mountain.
It's a mountain.
Oh, yeah.
The
mountain.
Road of that road would go up to about 9,000 feet.
Okay.
But it's gravel. So Timberline, that road could be the highest paved road in Oregon.
That would be a good research question.
Yeah, but
totally.
Not the highest through road. So it depends
kind of
what your
that might
specifications
be Lolo Pass,
are.
Maybe?
Mm.
I don't know.
Good question.
You've been on that. You've ridden that.
Yeah, although that's not paved either.
Lolo probably goes up to about 5,000 feet.
Okay.
Because you have to climb even higher to get to McNeil Point, and McNeil Point is 6,100.
Right.
There's
like elevation porn for all our listeners.
Yeah, exactly. I like really get into elevation, so okay. But Timberline it's up there.
Yeah, so
but
you made it. You
I
said
did.
West Leg Road is a nice
yeah,
alternative
so there's this
to the
tiny
main road.
Tiny little road that called West Leg that's mm-hmm. just to the west of the main road that goes up to Timberline Lodge.
Good name.
I know, right? And there's also an East Leg. Okay.
Is that
what side does it go on?
Very logical when they wrote these names. But it was awesome. There were like four cars up the whole way, totally remote, beautiful. And then I got up to Timberline and like the wind was just ferocious and it was blowing all that volcanic ash around. So I could barely like open my eyes because I didn't have glasses or any like protective eyewear.
Storm.
Yeah, it was really intense. So I was like, okay, snapped a picture and then just bombed down again.
Yeah.
So
that was part of the reason that I didn't go up. I was like, maybe I could have made it to Timberline, but my legs were super tired. And I was like, once I get up there, I'm just going to have to turn around and come back down.
Yeah.
It's like the drinks are too expensive at the lodge. And all that.
Yeah, I didn't want to get a drink there because I knew I could go down to the brewery and government camp and probably get like a huge dinner and beer there.
Oh, yeah, for a lot cheaper.
But I've actually been wanting to bike West Leg Road for like 5 years.
Because you've skied it several times.
Yeah, I've cross-country skied
taken the bus up there.
A couple
and then,
times.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
have you heard
cool.
about the bus service?
I have.
Mount Hood Express.
It's funny because I just talked to, I think maybe my brother or someone else about it because I heard about it on this show and I was just like, hey, you can totally use this, you know.
Or Mount Hood Express.
And as you know, I'm sort of into the whole concept of using transit and bikes lately. So I think it's an awesome service to have. So yeah.
Not many people use it. It's
totally.
Really
it's crazy.
Interesting. I don't know. It's just probably because most people you want to get out there, have a car.
Although during ski season, there are more people on it.
That's
true. I
think
that's kind of the... And they have late runs, too. There's the one that, like, what, it goes mm-hmm. back towards Portland at, like, 10 p.m. is the last run or something?
I think a lot of people who use it, like, what I noticed when I took it skiing, it's, like, a lot of teenagers from Sandy.
Sure.
It's a bunch of high school kids who maybe have season passes and they snowboard.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of those kids on the bus.
And potentially people that work for any of the ski resorts up there.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of, like, employees who seem like they
Well, I mean, those two things alone is probably enough to justify its existence, but it would be nice if it, you know, got more use.
There's
you know?
Not a whole lot of Portlanders. Like that one time we took it, there was one guy who was traveling like us all the way from Portland out and back.
Right.
But I don't think I've seen anyone else who seems like they're from Portland
gotcha.
On it.
How many buses would that can you get a straight shot out to Sandy and then transfer to that? Is that how it is?
There is a TriMet bus that goes to Gresham. You can catch the Sandy shuttle or the Sandy, it's the SAM. Sandy Area Metro, right. I believe, transit service. And that goes for $1 from Gresham to Sandy. And then from Sandy, you can catch the Mount Hood Express, which goes all the way to Timberline. So total, it's, what, $2.50 for TriMet, $1 for Sam. And then that's like $5.50 in all.
And it does take about 3 hours to get from Portland to Timberline Lodge, whereas you could drive it in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So it's more time consuming. But just the fact that it's there, I've been using it a lot more.
And if you don't have wheels, or you want to leave them at home, or any of the above,
awesome. It's fantastic.
You were saying when you did this during the summer that they actually tow like a trailer or something to put mountain bikes into, right? Because
it was
a lot of people
really
use it
cool.
as a
the
like
bus
an up
was,
shuttle.
Yeah, they were towing a trailer that could fit maybe 20 bikes on the back for the mountain bikers.
See, that's good because I've been on a few. Let's see, the Tillamook County. The Wave.
Oh, the wave.
Catch the Wave.
Last summer when I did the Pacific Coast, I didn't use that because I went up to Victoria and came down. Yeah. But the summer before when I did the coast, and in fact the summer before that as well, I used the Wave to get out there. The one of those occasions, I can't recall which one, there were too many bikes. Now, I was the first person there because I'm Mr. Planner and I got there really quickly.
You stake your claim.
Hell yeah. But, you know, if you're sort of going there, especially on a bike tour or something like that, and you're just sort of like, this is the bus I'm taking and I'm going to be doing this, and you get there and all the bike spots are taken on the rack, you're sort of screwed, you know?
Did they let bikes on the bus that time?
They did on that one occasion because the driver was very cool and
willing
made
to bend the rules.
I've seen that happen before where the front rack was full and the driver was like, go ahead, put your bike on the bus. It's cool. So I think the Wave is a little more just lax, like flexible.
I think so. And it was interesting because when I was doing my crazy DC to Boston thing with all the buses and the trains and stuff like that.
Can you unpack that in just a minute when you finish this thought?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I realized that there were a couple of points that if it didn't work out for me, I would have been stranded. And there was like, I could have been stranded in Hartford, Connecticut if I hadn't been able to get it on the rack, and luckily I was able to because I was the only bike. That would have been bad because this was like one of those, you know, amazing race style journeys that I was on. So we should probably,
we should just to wrap up that Adele, you and I found out that we can go out and have a solo adventure and like start and finish together. And it was a good arrangement because it meant that we had a similar schedule. We didn't have to spend all day apart.
Right.
But we didn't get the alone
time that I
wanted. It was
kind of cool because at the end when we met up again, I was like, hey, where did you end up? Because I knew like Brock didn't take the same roads as me. So I was like, what the hell happened to him?
Where did he go?
And one of the roads that I was on just ended and like turned into a dirt trail. And so I had to like go on this gravel road and it was like crazy. So like I had a cool story and then you had a different story. So it's fun to do something a little different and like at the end of the day be like, hey, what happened to you?
What happened to you? Yeah.
That's
I was
very
wondering
cool.
What would happen if I had it turned around and I went all the way back to Estacada and took the bus. Turns out I only did like 30 miles or something. And then you come
and then
home
I
and you're
Timberline
like, I did
180. And I feel so triumphant. Yeah. And you're just like, so chilled.
I just went to Estacada and got a 12-pack.
Exactly. Which is
I
what
mean, like,
you do.
Brock, I'm never letting you bike by yourself again if that's how you're going to like let yourself go.
The other takeaway lesson is have a map because I didn't have one. I wrote down the names of the streets I was looking for,
map.
The roads. But
a paper map is so useful.
Cannot be beat.
Yeah.
Or the electronic equipment. Of a paper map, meaning you don't need like data connection, like you have the information with you.
That's one lesson I've learned. If I hadn't had that paper map yesterday, I would be totally screwed.
Right.
So
you'd still be out there.
Yeah, probably.
On some gravel road someplace.
Probably.
I was wondering about that, yeah. So anyways, that was what happened. But yeah, let's talk about your transit adventure because this is the sort of thing that like 5 years ago I worked out a route from Portland to Seattle using nothing but transit buses.
Yeah, and now with all of the additional stuff, including, I believe, Apple Maps actually visualizes it, what happened in the connections that I could make and not make.
Really?
Because they've added transit to their maps on iOS.
Is this better than Google Transit?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
I think it's just different, at the very least. But the interesting thing was, interesting thing was that...
Interesting.
They show all the lines of all of the different transit systems, and you see the gap where I actually had to do rides.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool. But
don't make an allowance for that. Like, you can't make a direct transfer, but this is how far you'd have to walk.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Or bike or whatever.
Yeah.
In this case, you would want a bike because it was about 20 miles. But,
okay.
So if you don't listen to my show, Pedal Shift, A.
You should.
You should. Let me pitch that you.
Hang on.
Wait, a call to action? Hold
on. Exactly.
Hey, all you Sprocket Podcast listeners, if you like bike touring, you should go listen to the Pedal Shift Project. Like now. Well, no, not now. Listen to the rest of this. And then Heddleship.net or iTunes or wherever your favorite podcasts are aggregated.
There we go. I feel like it should have been angrier for a call to action. It's kind of like your, didn't you have a like a rant warning?
Yeah, I
and then
do.
it was like a non-rant. It was like a
oh, no.
I mean, it was a rant. You were upset, but you were so nice about it.
Well, you know what? I guess I'm a little more laid back, you know?
It's okay.
I was pissed when that was the whole.
That was Shitgate.
Oh my God.
On
that
the Oregon Outback when some guys pooped in somebody's yard.
Oh, that was a great episode to listen to.
The Reverend's Yard, yeah.
Oh yeah.
My God. It actually kind of changed my touring style. Confession. Do you have a confession sound?
Oh, wait. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Well, when Brock and I were bike touring this summer and I would like do my business in the woods and I'd be like, no one's going to see this toilet paper that I chuck over this cliff. So I was like doing that at least once a day. Like, who's going to be out here? Seriously, like, you know?
You weren't on the Divide ride by any chance recently, were you?
Will not confirm
that
or deny.
That was me. Yeah.
Oregon Outback, excuse me. I just right. denigrated the Divide riders. My bad.
Oh, no. They're all cool. They're all Leave No Trace and shit.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, let's not clump them together. Yeah. And they're Canadian.
Yeah. Clump.
Or worked. Yeah.
Interesting.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I decided to change my ways after listening to that episode of The Sprocket when you were all,
well, I'm glad,
you know, just bemoaning the terrible, you know, travesties that were visited upon the landscape of Eastern Oregon.
And I was like, you know?
Yeah, well, we still need to give him a fruit basket. I was wondering.
We thought about this, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
when we drive up to the Steves.
Oh, yeah.
It's
not really on the way. Okay. Might have to, like, well, we just spend more in mileage overages.
Maybe we can, like, get a card that's signed by all our listeners that say,
ooh,
that would be kind of cool.
There we go.
Hey, wait, this is a crossover episode.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could do that.
All right.
Okay, mm-hmm. We'll talk about it on Pedal Shift.
That sounds good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's why you should go listen to pedalshift.net.
Yeah, and the next episode of Pedal Shift, it'll be us.
So if I was going to do it, it'd be something like, you know, listen, all you sons of bitches, get over there, listen to this show, because it's fantastic. But that's not
But
as
only
nice
if you'd
you.
Like to, you know. I just softened your call to action dramatically.
Right.
Pretty please.
Listening.
Buses.
Yes. Tried to get from Washington, D.C. to Boston. What was it? The Bowash Corridor?
The Bowash Corridor.
Bowash? How do you spell that?
Is that a thing that you've ever heard of, though?
B-O?
Hyphen Wash.
No.
Like Boston, Boston to Washington.
Boston to Washington.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like it was something, like, I heard it once. I heard
Am
some,
I not a true East Coaster?
No, you know, what's funny is I think I heard it when I worked for, nice. Heard it when I worked for Metro, because my first job in Portland was working for Metro's transportation department.
Ah.
And I think they refer to it as the Bowash Corridor.
So those who are in the transportation world would know of this.
I think it's Transpo Wonks.
But if you're a child growing up in the suburbs of D.C. no. and then Boston,
yeah.
funny enough, I did live in the D.C. area and the Boston area.
If you're a Southie, that is not something they're teaching you in Southie, right? You
know? Yeah.
Or in the mean streets
of living in Southie.
Or the mean streets of DuPont Circle.
Yeah.
If you're from D.C., you understand the joke. Deep subways. It's a very long escalator.
Dangerous.
A very long escalator. So my whole working theory on all of this, being in DC was, hey, all of these cities are really close together. And hey, wouldn't it be interesting, depending on, you know, where you grew up and how many syllables you think that word should have and what your accent is and things like that. Wouldn't it be interesting if the transit systems were, like, overlap? Because I knew that there were transfer points in certain places where it was like, well, the Philly system overlaps with New Jersey Transit, which gets you to New York. And I knew about all of those things. And I thought, well, let me look at a map. And let me look at the schedules most importantly, because it's sort of like riding a wave. I thought of it like it was a surfing exercise.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
To catch the wave. There was very little margin for, pardon me, bear mongers, margin for error. And this burp has been brought to you by the bear mongers.
That's right. No, but it is like, you know, if you fall off of a surfboard while you're like catching, you know, some sweet wave,
you're going to miss the wave.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You just pop up at just the right point.
And it's exactly right, because there are multiple ways that you can do it, but the way that I thought was most fun would involve an overnight someplace. And so I did it with a folding bike that I have, not the one, not this wonderful Brompton, which I'm now super excited to ride.
It's really good looking.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
But I figured it all out, and I did an overnight wild camp on the side of the road in this like one little narrow area that was like, I'm pretty sure it's still legal, but not on private land, because I saw the no trespass.
Yeah. How would it have been legal?
Well, I think that because it's a U.S. highway, that means it's technically state land. And there's, I think that it's, well, you know what? There was no sign that said it was illegal to be on that side of the no trespassing side.
So is this the distinction?
Because you've
mentioned this on your show. There's a difference between illegal and
not illegal.
Not illegal. Well, as opposed to fully legal, right?
Yeah. I think it's sort of along the lines of sort of like how tiny houses in Portland are sort of not illegal.
Oh, right. You know, they're not like smiled upon
so
by
there's
me.
Some gray area. It's not totally black and white in terms of who the land, like what you can do with the land.
Right. You know, it's public land. It's maybe it's publicly owned land. You know, it's state land or something along those lines. But there's no trespassing signs. There's nothing clear in state law that I was aware of that it was illegal for me to be there.
No hammocking on the side of the highway.
Yeah, right. There was no like hammock with a little line through.
They should have thought of putting that sign up, huh?
Yeah. Next time
you're
I
like,
go
well,
there.
Well, there's no sign that says I can't hang my hammock from these trees.
Well, what was crazy, so I used Google Earth to like find this spot because it's so helpful.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, wait, there's a billboard here. And this billboard has like a little service road that goes behind it. And there, and that's where I found this, like, what I perceived to be a not illegal strip of land between
that means
the private land.
Yeah. Open space, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I wasn't like on that, because I figured that the billboard land was owned by someone, but I wasn't on that part.
Clear channel.
Yeah, exactly. I should have taken a picture of it just to be like, this is the, my night's rest is brought to you by this billboard.
Exactly.
But it was actually really cool, but I couldn't sleep at all because I was so freaking excited.
Yeah.
And I took the last train out of DC to get up there and just rode a few miles to get out of the town. And it was about 20 miles to connect the northern part of the DC transit system with the southern part of the Philadelphia transit system in Newark, Delaware.
Yeah,
so I got
SEPTA.
So I got to bike across a state line and go through lovely Newark, Delaware, home of the Fightin' Blue Hens of the University of Delaware.
And the cops couldn't chase you?
No, they could not.
Couldn't cross the state line?
No, that's right. Yeah. And there was a Wawa there and I got donuts and it was at like 5 in the morning when everything just opened. It was great.
Wawa is a gasoline mini mart sort of situation.
Wawa is the plaid pantry of the mid-Atlantic.
There we go. Go.
Look at me building bridges.
I remember Wawa. Yeah.
Wawa's a big deal.
I've never been to one, I don't think.
I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
Buck loves plaid pantries.
I like shitty food of all kinds.
I was going to say, you like your prepackaged sugary foods. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I recall my Sprocket podcast back catalog correctly. So, and then once you get on that, you know, it was a train to Philadelphia. And then from Philadelphia, it's train to Trenton. And from Trenton all the way up to New York. And then I got to ride at like 9:30 in the morning on the streets. I think it was 8th Avenue. And that was a complete shit show. It was so awesome.
I would imagine.
It was a disaster. And I loved every second of it. I'm used to riding in DC and urban areas, but I mean, there was zero bike infrastructure. There's cabs everywhere. I mean, cars are within like 4 inches of me. Most people would be utterly shocked and appalled by it. And I was just like totally energized. I'm like, well, don't need any coffee this morning. And
was that like you were in the tradition of Lucas Brunel? You were like sketching on the sides of buses or trucks or whatever.
You know, I wish I had thought about that because I totally would have done it. But it was more sort of that Bill O'Reilly, fuck it, we're doing it live
kind
of moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something to be said for like a city like New York where the driving seems absolutely crazy and there's so many cars, but because like drivers know there's so much going on, they're more alert. So they're like, oh, and now there's a bicycle. Yep. We're going to go around him. Might give you an inch or two of space, but I wonder if there's something to that.
There is. And the other thing, and Aaron the in absentia is here because you know how he's big on speeds.
Yes.
The 8th Avenue, although it's a very busy road, was going very slowly because of all the volume.
Uh-huh.
So
crawling
between
along.
What you were describing, Adele, and the lack of speed, it actually felt pretty safe.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's still, you know, Manhattan.
But it's not made for bikes.
No,
right?
Not
there's
that part.
No,
at least. There was one area when I went crosstown, I think it was on 40, it wasn't 42nd, but I went through Times Square as well. And I'm like, this is so great because I had to go from, what was it, Grand Central to, I'm sorry, no, I had to go from Penn Station to Grand Central Station.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, I had my folding bike with me, so I made that happen.
Yeah.
It was just, it was cool and it was a really fun thing to do. Then there's another train up into Connecticut and then it's a series of buses. And, you know, it was just, I was exhausted by the end of it though.
Right. I remember you could hear it in your voice. And if anybody hasn't heard this, it's there are tour journals. It's a separate podcast feed where you just you upload things on the fly from the road saying, hey, kids, this is what's happening. So.
Yeah, it's my secondary podcast, and I do it for all of my bike tours.
Yeah.
And what's fun about it is that it's sort of like you're in the moment. And from the second I stop recording, it goes up into the cloud and then ends up in the feed. So it's kind of Excuse me. Again, another burp by the beer
marmers. I have been burping live every, like, 2 minutes.
I've decided
just
that
away from the microphone.
Wet hops creates extra gas.
Right.
That's what that means.
I think so.
But we digress.
I've developed a skill of podcasting, which I deflect things when I have a burp.
or you just don't mention it like the jerk sitting in this chair, right? Hey, guess what, everybody? I burped. Congratulations.
Hey, curious. If you were riding in New York, do you think there's a distinction between being safe and feeling safe?
Ooh.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's like,
because I feel like most of our regulations are set up so people feel safe.
Yeah.
But you were saying no one died when you were on 8th Avenue.
Brock, that's straight up Ira Glass question right there.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I love it. I think.
And now for our second act.
But can you truly be safe without feeling safe?
Well, that's the question.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's sort of like the. It's amazing how much safety paint can create or what kind of a zone. So, yeah. I don't think. I don't know the answer to that. New York is its own beast.
Right.
And
I've heard similar things about Chicago.
And I've never biked in Chicago. And I think that would be an interesting experience or an interesting experience, again, depending on where you grew up.
Interesting. Or interesting.
Or interesting. Wow, I've never heard you say that.
Or whether you're
one
just Brock or not.
It sounds wrong.
I don't even
when
think
say it,
it's
like,
a Puyallup thing.
Yeah.
Let's go to Puyallup and ask people to say that word.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, how do you pronounce this hashtag interesting word? That'd be an amazing video.
Seriously.
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. I think that sometimes we have things in terms of bike infrastructure that are more fictional representations of safety.
Okay.
And I think sometimes we have actual things that create safety. And then there are times that, frankly, you can create the safest separated infrastructure. And if some jerk drives on it, which has happened in D.C. before, or the D.C. area, I know, you're going to still have the collisions that occur. So, I mean, I think that safety ends up being a relative thing, given what happens. And sometimes, sadly, stuff happens, you know.
Sure. Well, the distinction between feeling safe and being safe, I guess, would be like, you know, you could not feel safe, yet be safe. And then somebody makes one wrong move, and then suddenly no one's safe.
Yeah.
So
it reminds me of the data that we've been seeing on driverless vehicles lately.
Or data.
Or
hashtag interesting.
It's the pronunciation podcast brought to you by the Sprocket Button. Data or data. Yes. Yeah, no, because there's all of the issues where there have been collisions with these Google driverless vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the fault of the human driver.
It's been human error, not computer error.
Exactly, because the apparently computers drive like my dearly departed grandmother, which is to say, really slow and stop at every single stop sign and follow every single rule.
Yeah, like infuriatingly compliant.
I used to be like really philosophically against that idea. Like, I think a friend who works for Google mentioned that they were working on that. Maybe this was 9 years ago, and I was like, oh, that's terrible. Are we going to let computers take over what we could do? But the more and more I see, just I'm out on the road and I just see total idiots, like people driving incredible, making terrible choices. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, let's stick people in cars that go really slowly and safely.
Well, and not everyone who passes the DMV test should be a driver.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like they build that test to be somewhat, you know,
inclusive.
Yeah, but I mean, it's supposed
to
teach you.
And
it's supposed
to
evaluate.
You can do whatever you want for the test, and then drive other ways.
Yeah,
once
right.
Well, you know, in 50 years or so, I may not be a good person to be driving. You know, I may not be around anymore. But let's say I am. You know, hypothetically,
A 90-year-old Tim Mooney.
A 94-year-old Tim Mooney would probably not be a great driver. Maybe, or I could be awesome. Who knows? But you know, I like the idea of this coming about. And also, the other interesting thing about it is that our
interesting
and interesting, depending again upon your point of view, is that our current vehicle lanes can technically fit two vehicles in them of standard width.
Oh,
so
right.
When we start, all of a sudden, we could be doubling the capacity of our roads if we make them dedicated for these driverless vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, things get even more interesting. Hashtag interesting. And yeah, I just I'm really intrigued by the whole thing. And I think that bikes are really important for sort of the last mile, the short haul stuff that we all do. But I think that this technology could really be a real sea change, and all of a sudden all sorts of industries change. You know, if we go to driverless vehicles, you know, your job, Brock, changes.
It does.
And
I've always wanted to telecommute.
Yeah. And
as a school bus driver.
Exactly. Right. But, you know, I mean, that like jobs like that. And, you know, and on in the big picture, probably long past my 94-year-old and your 94-year-old self, you know,
right.
Your 94-year-old self.
Right. Well, I won't be 94 in 50 years. Just putting that out there.
What? You're not 44 too? What?
I'll be 89. I forget. Anyways.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
80? No, you'll be a little younger than that.
Yeah, just like you're old.
Years will speed up. I am old.
You're old. I didn't sign up for this.
I guess it's just interesting to see these changes. And, you know, really, the automobile has not been around in the way that we know it for a terribly long time when you look at just sort of long-term history. I mean, we were horse and buggy. Well, we still are in some sections of Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, this whole era of, you know, let me put it this way. I'll digress. My nephew Connor may be looking at me when I'm, you know, a little bit older, and he'll be like, you used to use pedals in your car like a caveman? That's weird, you know? Yeah. So he may never learn to drive an automotive vehicle of any type. It may be computerized, and he'll be riding his bike, and then he'll be, you know, calling Uber Google for his automated
the
Uber
weird
Google.
Thing is that bikes will probably be more or less the same in 50 years.
And they haven't changed.
Right, because they haven't changed.
Yeah.
That's a strange thing to think about.
Let me put a pin in that, because there's something that I was going to mention on the next show, but I will bring it up in just a moment. But let's wrap up on this bus tour.
Yes.
What were the things that you, like, you had some rules, I remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So
and for, you're a big proponent of the hashtag not cheating
not
for
cheating.
Anyone who, like, takes a bus or whatever. They're like, I didn't ride all the way across the country, and most people would be like, loser. And you're like, no, it's okay.
By the way, I need to give a shout out to a friend of both of our shows, Ethan Georgie.
Yes.
He gave us a shout out. He said, not cheating for my show, and then for you, I can't remember what it was for Sprocket, but
was it cheating?
No. He did something on Instagram or something like that. That was just sort of like that was a shout out to both of our shows. So Ethan, thank you for doing that. It was pretty awesome. It was great. Anyways, I created these arbitrary rules because I thought this was the thing. Like, I do so many things in bike touring where it's just sort of like, nope, this is open flow. I just know where I'm going to end and blah blah blah. And this time I was like, no, I'm going to create some very specific rules. This is going to be done in 24 hours. I have a train reservation in Boston that I have to be at. So
right.
it was time limited.
It's a deadline.
Totally, yeah. And the rules were one night of overnight wild camping, no hotels, you jerk, because I often get hotels when I wuss out, and, you know, it works. It's fine.
Hashtag not cheating.
Oh, that would have been hashtag cheating this time.
Well, but if you said, I'm not going to do a hotel, then you do a hotel. Totally. That is, in fact, cheating.
That would have been cheating, but I did not. And then the other thing was folding bike, all local transit or regional rail. So I wasn't allowed to go on things like Bolt Bus or
Peter Pan.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? Here's the joke. I found out that the last bus that I was on was actually operated by Peter Pan.
Oh, really?
Even though it said it was a commuter bus.
Sure. It's local transit operated by a larger conglomerate.
Okay. So, yeah, I was like sitting there going, oh, do I have to fess up to this? And I was like, I'll do it eventually. But
and here we are.
And here we are fessing up. Hashtag cheating.
But yeah, it was a challenge for you to see, like, hey, can I do this within these parameters?
And it was really kind of fun. But I will say, I'll never do it again.
Okay.
Because not this way. Everybody's out there like packing up their folding bike about to do it going,
like,
what?
That's fun.
You're not doing it again? I thought this was fun. Yeah. It was fun, but I have to say it was more an exercise in sleep deprivation than it was an actual like physical challenge. Like I did not climb, you know, up to Timberline Lodge on a bike, you know. I just stayed up really freaking late, you know.
Yeah.
And got no sleep. But it was,
you feel about the same at the end, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. I was more tired on this trip than I've been on any other tour ever. Because it was just really intense, and it was this constant. You know, I had no more than, I think, 45 minutes between any given connection. And most of the connections were actually built into each other. They were meant to connect to the next thing.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes worth of downtime. You know, like I'd be lucky to find a place where I could get a bottle of water or something like that. So
you had to have packed enough things to make that possible.
And at the same time, pack light because I'm on a freaking folding bike.
Right.
And, yeah.
To carry it all with you.
It was fun. And I learned a lot. And it helped me make the decision to buy the Brompton because I really think that although the Dayhound is really good for commuting and maybe some light touring, the type of touring that I want to do with a folding bike requires something that's a little more built for it, and the Brompton sort of built for it. So that's why I'm excited to have that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
nice.
It was a lot of fun. And The other big takeaway from it is what I intend to do for maybe next year's tour is I think I'm going to spend a few weeks doing some type of cross-country style one, because next year is the 40th anniversary of sort of the beginning of modern bike touring.
The transatlantic route.
Oh, yeah, there we
76,
go.
The, yeah. Bike, the bike centennial.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking, you know, it would be kind of cool for Pedal Shift to go out there and do a cross-country perhaps along that route.
Sure.
And
use some like transit assist or whatever.
Exactly. Because frankly, I don't think...
cheating.
Well, I would declare it at the outset that this is what my tour is. You know,
not saying I rode from coast to coast.
And I'm sure you'll bike all the way through the Midwest and take transit through Colorado, Wyoming, and Oregon.
Yeah, yeah.
I have not committed to my route yet, but I will take that into consideration.
Well, I hope I don't think I'm spoiling it if I put this in there, but Aaron Green wrote the book We Were Like Sons. We had him on sometime last fall, and
right.
He mentioned in his book he and his buddy had done this cross-country, and Aaron was really conflicted about like getting rides and hitching and that sort of thing. And at some point, his buddy he was doing the tour with says, you know what? This is our tour.
Yes.
We do it the way we want to.
I agree
right.
with that.
But we've never hitchhiked on a tour, I don't think.
You have technically. And let me tell you how.
Technically.
What
technically,
part?
When there were the roads were being worked on and you had to throw your bikes
in.
Oh,
you're talking about pilot cars.
Pilot cars,
yes.
Yes,
right. Those are a ton of fun to ride on.
I like riding in pilot cars.
But you know what?
But
hashtag
we didn't
not
ask,
cheating.
But we didn't ask for that.
You didn't ask for it? You were forced to.
Yeah. We were forced to. So we have never voluntarily sought out sort of a lift.
I need a sound effect.
What kind of sound effect do you need?
A sound effect where I'm going to declare a rule here. Hashtag not cheating.
All right.
The bong would have been better then.
Okay, well, anyway, do it again.
Hashtag not cheating. Yeah,
there we
that
go.
Was the one.
I think if I let myself go to that place where I did start asking for rides, I would probably ask for rides all the way across the country, which is why I haven't let myself go there.
Sure.
I don't believe you. I think that
really?
You would. No, I think you would
no,
ride. You like riding.
I do.
I love to ride, but. And then I do get car sick. Okay. But just like, I'm trying to think. It's sort of like if I had a car, I would probably choose to drive it around a lot more. Well, I don't drive around now in Portland because I don't have a car. But if I had that, like, option, I don't know.
I don't believe you.
Really?
I don't believe you. I think that you would ride your bike more.
Well, thanks for your trust in my
so we should
bike
buy a car,
riding abilities. Right? I can deny the car. Deny. Only use it for long trips.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just hard enough to hitchhike for a ride to get one.
Yeah.
That it would be sort of an obstacle.
I am a little curious about that because everybody knows I just finished Sober September.
Right.
And
congratulations,
everybody. Everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
Everybody knows this.
Earl Blumenauer came by and said congratulations.
Yeah,
his hand,
even
so.
He knows.
Yeah.
No, but I had beer in the fridge all September. Never drank it. And I wonder maybe if it just kind of bolstered my resolve. I'm also doing No Smoketober, where I'm occasionally
Are we breaking news here on the
podcast? Oh, sure.
Podcast?
Why not? Yeah. I'm occasionally a cigarette smoker. I enjoy them.
Occasionally,
And I decided, why don't I try? I did, no alcohol September. Why not no nicotine in October? See what happens. And I feel like there's something to that. Like, almost if you have something around, you're more incentivized not to use it, maybe. It depends on maybe how your brain works.
Creating these artificial sort of bright line rules, it depends on your personality. Like, I'm the type of person who, if I can create a challenge, I'll meet it.
Right.
And so I think it sounds like that you've got kind of a similar spark to you.
It's
know?
Like the
you
fear do. Of failure in public.
Well, that helps
that's
too.
That's what drives me.
Yeah.
Well, because some people, because you approached your... Sober September, No Smoketober. Like, you're going to tell as many people as you can.
Right. You got to
so
get it out
be
there. Otherwise,
publicly embarrassed if you break your own self.
I don't want to be publicly
rules.
Shamed.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. So, anyways, I feel like maybe that'd be a thing. Maybe if you had a car, you keep it in the driveway. It's like, I only use this when I leave town.
Whoa.
Or
see,
that's
that
sort of
sometime.
My situation. I've got a car in D.C.
Uh-huh.
And you have a car?
Yeah,
how
I do.
Dare you?
Well, because I need to get to my cabin. I don't know. And also,
hashtag
funny?
Not cheating.
Hashtag not cheating. It serves its purpose. I use it when I need it.
Yeah.
But I use it so infrequently that I've already decided when it goes because it just turned 150,000 miles.
Ooh.
At some point, and it's almost all long distance miles. I know that I don't need a car to exist in D.C. and I've
to
already
do life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you crunch the numbers on it. And it's almost always a no-brainer between gas and insurance and also the tickets that you get for living in a modern city where you will get ticketed. Because
is this parking tickets
parking
or moving
ticket,
violations?
Almost always parking tickets.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, Brock, I think we already established that I never speed. And I never
of course,
go
you would never get one.
Of course. I would never do that.
Makes
that
sense to me.
I've never received a speeding ticket that I can think of in the top of my head in my life. But
In the past 10 years.
In the past 10 years. In the past 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 months. but yeah, it is. I think that if you have the gumption to do things by bike. Oh, hey, Portland's a good example. You know, my brother lives in Northeast Portland near Alberta, and he has on multiple occasions said, take my car. You can take my car. Please borrow my car. I'm not using it. I'm mm-hmm. staying here with the kid. I'm like, no, I'm going to bike down to Division. I'm going to bike down to the studio.
Right.
Because I'd rather do that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that Adele, that is your personality too. Because we go so far back, well, and I know you so well.
Yes. You know me so well. Yes. Yeah. From all those episodes way back. Yes. No, I mean, I do enjoy biking. I do. And I guess I've never tested that theory that I have. Like, I've always thought that, like, I love biking around Portland, but if I had a car, I would probably use it all the time. But maybe not. I don't know. I mean, when my family was in town in August, they offered to drive us around when we wanted to go up to Alberta, and we were like, no, we'd rather bike. So,
right.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But interesting.
That will never go away.
So I think it's just a thing, like, it's almost like everyone kind of makes their own rules. But like we were talking about with the phone thing last week, it's like, you know, it's not whether or not you have a smartphone or whether you have a phone at all or whatever, but it's more about, have you thought through the implications? What kind of a life do you want to have? Does this help you have that life or not? Yeah. And it's all of those things for whatever it is that you have or don't have.
I thought that was a great episode. We talked about this before we recorded.
Yeah. And actually, can I do this? Hang on. Because you know,
that's when we have a callback.
You know what the man hidden inside me would say?
We got mail.
I am morally obligated to say, you're welcome, Sprocket Podcast listeners.
The one piece of mail that you sent in about our, it was like a comment, I think, or something.
Oh, yeah.
About the phone episode was that a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, less phone use sounds like a great idea. And I'm all in line with them. Also, you were the dissenting voice.
I was the contrarian.
Saying, you know, I like having technology. Well, it's good. It's useful.
It totally. And it was like I was telling you as we were locking up your bikes, you know, I think I agreed with him on 95% of the time, probably 99%, maybe all of it. Mm-hmm. But I still flip the other way. I think that I use technology in a way that gives me a ton of freedom because I, for instance, can run the businesses that we have in D.C. mm-hmm. from my phone, essentially. And I've done it on bike tour. And mm-hmm. I did it. We had a hurricane that was almost but not quite going to hit D.C. this past week. And, you know, that's part of my job is handling the operations of our yoga studios.
Totally.
And I was able to effectuate all of that using my phone from 2,800 miles away, mm-hmm. the same way that I would have done in D.C. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
like you would have done that from home in D.C.
Or in person. You know, in the studios or something like that. But, you know, it was nice to be able to leverage technology to allow me to be here while I was holding my nephew, you know, and he was spitting up on me. Yes, true story. And, you know.
So gross.
It was. But with the other hand, meanwhile, I'm tapping out an email to the team saying, hey, everybody.
The phone is far away from from the baby.
Yeah. By the way, iPhones do not stand up to spit up. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
okay, good to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that the you know, it's such a cop out to say, oh well, just be balanced, man. But I do think that technology, if you have it,
be in control.
Yeah, totally.
Say it in that tone of voice too. Be balanced.
Be balanced, man.
Chill.
Yeah, this is my yoga studio voice.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. but I think that you can. I think that you can have the same agreement about the place of technology and wanting to have human interaction and wanting to sit down and not be sitting there scrolling through your phone.
Right.
And actually, when I'm out to dinner with people, like having discussions, rather than being sitting in our phones. But at the same time, when I can do work any place in the country or in the world, because next week I'll be in Italy and probably working off of it. That's pretty cool, and that is – I use the word liberating, I believe, twice in that comment.
It's like, hey, this lets me do the things I want to do.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I still can have that human interaction, you know, because we're sitting here in a room and we're having a great conversation over beer from the beer mongers.
The beer mongers, yeah.
The beer mongers.
And no one has a phone out except for me. Yes.
Well, it takes discipline, I think, to put your phone away and not let it, you know – supplant actual human interaction, like face-to-face interaction. And I think that's where, you know, as a whole, humanity is not super disciplined, and that's where we're coming across problems. And, you know, it's like last night I was at the brewery in Government Camp. I was like around and all these couples are on their phones and not like an entire family with like 6 kids and they're all on their phones, which I understand, but I was just like, huh, okay. I mean, I was reading a book, so I was also diverting my attention somewhere else.
Sure.
But I was by myself.
And the question is, does it enhance your interactions with other people,
right,
or does it like supplant your, yeah.
Right. So, everyone has like a different I don't know, goal. And some people, yeah, like you're running businesses and mm-hmm. it makes so much sense.
And right now we are talking to people globally.
Through phones.
Through phones often and through, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of power of all of this. Our conversation is being mm-hmm. shared with lots and lots of people who, you know, as we've learned, really dig what we're talking about.
That's true, yeah.
And
thanks, folks.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's you're all friends of the show.
That's know? Right. So I just thought I'd bring that up because it seemed like it connected. So the other thing in the mailbag was from what I was going to mention tomorrow was Johnny K shared the Lindy effect. And that's where technology, like a good predictor of how well new technology will catch on is how long something like it has existed in the past. Basically, like the bicycle, for example, a good example is that, you know, it's been around forever. It's probably going to be entrenched for a long time more in our culture. So yeah. I thought that was interesting. It was a nice share.
Johnny K. always brings the good info.
Yes, as you called him, a national treasure.
He is a national freaking treasure. Hi, Johnny K.
I'm going to steal Johnny K.
Yeah, I know. It's just like we I feel like, you know, we kind of push and pull Johnny K. You know,
right, right.
I think he leaves longer comments on your show, so I'm a little jealous.
Oh, well.
Johnny
so, okay.
K. Johnny K. next episode. I want a long.
He has.
Johnny K. Attention, Johnny K. Please leave longer comments on the Pedal Shift Project. Thank you.
He's just been with Brock for so long.
It's true. He has. Yeah.
Loyalty. He's a loyal guy.
I'm an interloper.
Oh, I don't know about that. Well, this has been a good hour. We should probably wrap it down.
It's been an hour?
It's actually been an hour five, I think, by my counting. So,
dude.
It's a good time.
Hey, everybody. Come on over to the Pedal Shift Project because we're going to talk about bike touring. Because these two bike tour.
Yeah, in 5 minutes.
They have interesting things to talk about.
Interesting. All right. Well, for all of your credit needs, here come the credits. Oh, shit. I got to scroll to them.
If I had words, I would read them.
I know. Our website is
thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email is sprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call or text to 503-847-9774. Twitter is sprocketpodcast. Ray and Julian has our theme music. Herbert had our headlines down. And Marcus Norman, our graphic design. Thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot, Katrina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson, Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson, Cameron Lean, Richard Bozenski, Tim Mooney, Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubisch, Matt Kelly, Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen Miller, Todd Parker, Scott McAllister, Morgan, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood, Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose, Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster, Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt, Patrick R. Chain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole, Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Skukas, John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy, the King of Division, Josh Zissen, and Richard G. Now, look how much time we have here.
Wow,
you made it longer, and I know it.
Can I apply for the Micro Machines job? No, I can't, because they don't sell those anymore. Ed, go to bed. Bye.
Yeah, if I had to... I've been seriously considering, like, a studio iPad, so we can just, like, pass things around and people can...
Oh, that's a smart idea.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Because we don't have a printer. I'm sure there's a printer here on site, but I've never learned how to use it. So.
Oh. What if we got, like, one of those mini iPads that I want, and then we could, like, I could use it the other 4 days of the week?
I'd have to bring it in and then take it home every time.
Yeah, that'd be annoying.
Well, we've got multiple systems, but the new thing is our point of sale system, which I hate them. They're a horrible company.
POS,
but we're locked
also
in.
Stands for something else.
Exactly. They have an
get
iPad
it?
App, which
get
is
it?
Oh, I just got it. I'm really sorry.
Because POS also stands for piece of shit.
I go.
Get it?
Thanks for laying that out for me.
You know, point of sale.
Easy
shit, get it?
Same letters.
Some of you are still recording this, right?
Yeah, we are.